Who recognises that? What was that? Huh? What was that? Thank you. Yeah, that was Mission Impossible. I was trying to find a DVD of it, but actually, I thought if I did find a DVD, then actually we would be sat here watching it all day. So, a bit of tune helped with it better than a DVD probably would. But yeah, it's good. It's great. Just want to, as James said, it's great to just be in here, in this particular hall, in this building, just kind of worshiping God, just as a church community again. Just kind of is life, brings life into this place, and it's great. For those that don't know the history of this place, I'm not going to go into it now, but it is just really exciting to be in here and to stay in here from last week when we had those 32 crazy Americans with us. And I say crazy because Bannon told us that if we're not a little bit crazy, then we actually are insane. So there you go. But yeah, Mission Impossible. Ethan Hunt, played by a certain actor, is no stranger to the impossible missions that he gets set. Who's actually seen one of the two DVDs? They're cool, they're good. Actually, I have one of them, but it's on video, and it's like nowadays you want to play a video. It seems seemingly really complicated, so there you go. But yeah, Ethan seems to have this this crave which takes him kind of beyond what would be considered normal. And that's we're going to be looking at. My microphone's all caught under this, Chris. There we go. We're looking at the Book of Mark this term, but in relation to the theme of when heaven invades earth. And I'm really excited that that is our theme. Kind of this term, just picking up from Jesus culture last weekend, which was truly awesome, amazing time. The guys are probably, they've just had the weekend in Tunbridge as well this weekend, which I think was fantastic too, from what I hear. So it's really exciting. I'm just kind of like, worshipping in this place is kind of really, I think it's kind of, a sense today is kind of like, we just kind of keep pushing in with that and keep battling with that, because actually something needs to break through in us as a worshipping community, and that's good. We're doing well. It's exciting. Let's keep doing that. Also, just in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be specifically worshipping in the student union as well on the 28th, Sunday 28th in the evening there, which again, and these are important times for us, because something that we're doing is we're preparing the way for Jesus to come. We're preparing the way for a king. And something that I picked up from actually it was from Banning when he was talking to the student workers the other weekend, was just this whole thing about actually when we're preparing, like John the Baptist was preparing the way, actually we're called to be a people that are preparing the way for the king, for the Messiah, for Jesus to come in glory. But it's something which takes time, something that we've already been on a journey on, carrying on with. And to encourage us that it doesn't just happen overnight, but it is happening. And actually, it's a way of being prepared. For apparently, in olden days, it took 2 or 3 years for people to go out and prepare straight roads, kind of low all the hills, high all the troughs, and make it nice and straight for the king to come along. And that's what we're doing. That's what we do also through worship in this place. We're preparing way for the Holy Spirit to come, for Jesus to come. And also in the student union, when we worship there, we're preparing space for Jesus to come and be glorified. So just to encourage you with that. But yeah, in terms of Mission Impossible, as you see, we're in those Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt. He seems to have this craving for that which is just beyond reach, that which is probably not really doable, or not at least normal, considered by others. And then he implores kind of various strategies to find a way through to succeed where others would not go. And there's a, I don't know who's, I've been reading a few books recently, couple by a guy called Bill Johnson, who is the senior pastor of Bethel Church in Reading, so that's kind of Bannon's boss, I guess. But this particular book, When Heaven Invades Earth, they've chosen a good name. Oh, they've copied our theme title. Well, maybe. But yeah, there's a couple of quotes I want to share out here today, which I think, and if you have chance to, I really encourage you to try and grab a copy of this book and have a read of it. I haven't got my head quite around it completely, but it's helpful. It's helpful to kind of get chewing on, and you can get that from Amazon and all those sorts of places, probably other bookshops in Staines, etc. But within there, Bill says this. He says, it is abnormal for a Christian not to have appetite for the impossible. It is written into our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us, to bow at the name of Jesus. So Bill reckons it's abnormal for us as Christians. If you are a Christian, it's abnormal to not have an appetite for the impossible. So that's kind of like, what? That's... But actually, I just wanted to... We're gonna be looking at, in Mark 16 verse 15 to 20. But before we go there, if you have got that, you can open it. Mark 16 15 to 20. Before we go there, just want to pick up on this thing that Bannon was sharing about, which was taking. I've also added in transforming because I think that helps us understand from the English perspective. But taking and transforming cities, towns, villages, hamlets, as Bannon would say, and campuses for Jesus, and what that actually means. Because I think it's important for us not to just maybe hear kind of a nice talk by some crazy American who probably is crazy, and what he's saying probably is a bit crazy, and so it can be nice for a week, and then we can get on with our stuff. But actually, I think it's important for us to kind of come back to that and to carry something, to grab something, like Vicky was saying about... carrying some of these words, like that thing about dreaming, being people, being a community that does dream, and I actually want that to be normal for us to be talking about from the front, not to be this thing we don't normally talk about this, but actually for us to normally talk about dreams, about what God's speaking to us about, because He's a God that is always speaking, always wants to speak into us and to encourage us. And so taking and transforming cities and campuses. So in terms of last week, who? Hey Ruth. For me, I was quite, as most of you know, I was quite impacted by last week. I have healed up quite a lot. just to get an idea, who else was kind of really felt there's something of an engagement with what these guys brought, Bannon and the guys, his team brought last week, whether it's Jesus Culture on Sunday, just in terms of like, yeah, I want to see some of that. You know, maybe don't know the answer to it, but yeah, and I was there as well. And it's like, but then the questions come along, and you're like, because you come out of that kind of space, as it were, and life kicks in, and then you start thinking, actually, is that really doable? Is that really achievable? Or is that just like a good vision talk by some Americans and helped us feel quite good about ourselves because we're in a big new building, a new room, and that's nice, helped us fill it up a bit. But I want to challenge us to actually push into this and actually see what does this actually look like for us. What does it look like for our houses or our halls that we live in, or the courses or societies or clubs we're part of? What does it look like for our friendships or our workplaces or our neighbourhoods or the streets? What does it look like actually for these places to be filled with God's glory, to be taken, to be transformed for Jesus? What does that actually look like? In connection with that dreaming, I want to help us dream a bit. You know, you can do the dreams of when kind of obviously God... you dream in terms of sleeping and that and visions and that, but also for us to dream in terms of vision for ourselves, for our friends. I just want to take one moment for each of us to take a moment and just think, I love doing this, you see. So just to stop and think for a moment of a friend who you just really, you know, we know a God who is good, who loves us, who wants to pour out His goodness on us. And actually I just want us to stop and think. Actually, think of a friend who you just really want to see God's goodness, God's love, God's blessing pour out on. And just imagine them just experiencing that, encountering God in that, and what that means for them. What that means for them. It might be particular situations they're in. It might, I don't know, but what, or it might just be how they respond to that. But actually, just take a moment just to think of that. Think of a person. Yeah, and this is something which I regularly do because I love just kind of thinking and seeing about what it would be like for my friends to engage with God, to know God in His goodness and His love. And it was something that just the other week I had a dream about as well. When one morning I woke up and I had this dream of one of my friends at uni I work with, and it was this dream where we were. It was actually in a gathering. I don't quite know where it was, but in a gathering where this mate of mine was actually at the back in a really comfy seat, but he was just in hysterics and just in real hearty hysterics. He's quite a big kind of rugby lad, but in heart hysterics, and it's just like God was meeting with him. He was encountering God, and it was something which had really released him, really brought freedom to him to be himself, just to be him without all the outside exterior that's on there. And waking up to that, for me, it was like, whoa, got it. You know, it's like suddenly faith had been stirred in me. Faith had had risen up in terms of actually, God, you are a big God. You are a God who can encounter and meet with my friends. Even when I feel limited and lack the resources, God, you don't. And I just want to encourage us, actually, those people that we're thinking about now, just to actually press in for that, bring them before God, get excited about that. And actually, God will meet you in that. God will meet them in that. He wants to reveal himself to them. Get thinking in terms of maybe Roar Holloway, the campus, Engfield Green, our workplaces, the community we live in. I actually feel like increasingly, I'm starting to feel like, hey man, this is actually doable. This is actually reachable. This is somehow not within myself, but this is actually manageable. Actually, God can do this. God can't. At the moment, I'm thinking about a whole nation or thinking about a whole world. It's like, whoa, that's still quite big. But actually starting to think. So it's like, actually, I want to encourage us to start thinking about where we're at. Maybe it is our house. Maybe it is our hall. Maybe it is our course. Maybe it is the friendships, our workplace, our neighbourhood, our street. Or maybe it is Engelford Green. Maybe it is a campus. But actually, I want to encourage us to be stepping out in that in terms of what God wants to do. To transform these places and using us as well. And also, as I've just kind of this past week and longer than that, and just reading and just kind of resting in God, just kind of increasingly sensing, and I really believe, and I want to encourage us to start pushing this as a community more so, is that the resources of heaven are actually available to us and are to hand. So as Vicky was speaking about the other week about the kingdom of God is near, it is at hand. The resources of heaven are at hand for us. They're available for us. It's not about us doing it for ourselves, but it's simply about us relying on God, relying on the resources that are available to us already, and to see our cities taken, to see our campuses taken and transformed. And as I say, these things don't necessarily happen overnight, and it is that thing of carrying stuff. It's about being, there's the word steward. It's about stewarding. I kind of feel like there was something also last week of some sort of like almost a commission that was put upon us in a positive sense. That was to say, go for it, guys, go for it. Go and transform your communities. Go and take cities for God. And actually, I want to encourage us again to grab hold of that, not to lose that, to wrestle with that, to let these things fuel our prayer as well, to let the things that we glimpse, the things of our friends that we glimpse, let that fuel your prayer. Start with that. Pray with that. So Mark 16:15-20, who's got that? Who's there? Oh, Rianne. Hi. So, oh, great, fantastic. Thanks. Yeah, Mark 16:15-20. Thanks, Rianne.
Great. That's good. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Yeah, Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the truth that we find in you, the goodness that we find in you, the faithfulness that we find in you. And we just, I just pray that today, that Holy Spirit, you just come, Father God, that you would help us just to soften, to open to you, Father, that you would speak right into our hearts, Father, that you would come. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for the relationship that we have and we can have with you. And Lord, we just want to run after that. We want to leap out after that. We want to chase after that. And Father, we thank you that you are here in this place. Amen. So this passage often is you've probably got a title on it. Mine says the Great Commission. It's often referred to as the Great Commission. Although often for some of the church, it's become possibly known as the Great Omission, i.e.
often doesn't happen. I mean, our cell communities, we have what, welcome, worship, word, and witness. Oh, run out of time. We'll get to that next week. Oh, a whole year's gone by. Anyway, but yeah, often has become the great omission, which actually, I want to encourage us, I'm not just speaking to us, but actually speaking to us, it's speaking to us, as a church bigger than here, is also to, it's time to put the co back into mission. So we talk about mission a lot, but let's talk about co-mission. It's not all about what we do, but it's about what Father God can and wants to do through us when we open ourselves up to partner with His Holy Spirit. And, you know, God's just waiting, you know. Like, read that verse. God's just waiting. You know, it's like, come on. Come on. How hard was it to read that verse? Not too hard, was it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, how hard is it to work with God? It's not too hard. He's just waiting. He wants to come. He wants to come. And the possibilities are simply limitless. They're endless. There's no boundaries with God. He just wants to go for it. He wants to see us soar. He wants to see His power at work. I mean, those stories we heard of last weekend, of people being healed, of words being given, treasure hunting that was going on, and people being found and being blessed, and actually someone just saying to them that God's bothered about you, God's interested in you, in fact He actually loves you, and just the impact that has, just those simple bits, and that's just the start, you know, that's just the start. Possibilities are limitless. So I just want to, as we're going to look through this verse a little bit more, I just want us to spend a moment and grab hold of in a fresh way what this is calling us to be, what is being spoken about here, as us sort of individuals, but also as a community. Because we can think what we know already is we know it all already, maybe, or we've read this bit before, or whatever. But actually, I want to take it from a fresh perspective, from a perspective of heaven on earth, when heaven invades earth, and actually let's start really letting this seep into us, letting this take hold of us. So what we're going to do, let's have a look. Okay, great. Right, okay, if we can just quickly, in little groups of three or four. Yeah, we'll do that. I know. So maybe if guys want to gather around tables, quickly form a group, that would be helpful. Yeah, you're going to have to get involved, guys. Because remember, I'm putting the code back into mission here. Okay, so just as a small group, if one of you wants to just like read that verse out loud again, and then as a small group, just grapple with it a bit. What is it saying to us? What is it telling us? What is God wanting to speak to us about through that? So just, go for it. That's fine. Just spend a moment doing that. Okay, now that you've read it, just grapple with it a bit. So what is it saying to you? What is it speaking? Okay. It's all right, there's other groups doing it as well, so don't worry if you got all the way. That's fine. Right, what I just want to do is just grab one thing from each group and see what people say. Try and do a different thing if possible. Who wants to start? Because that's usually probably the easiest place. Chris, your group can start. Tell us one thing. Okay, if we all listen in. It sounded like Mission Impossible, but you reckon it is possible through God. Okay. Cool. Who wants to go next? Chris, your group, go for it, mate. Yeah, whatever, that's really hard. Let's not do that. Okay. So about starting and doing something, steps. Okay, this challenge, this thing to do, it's up to us. Okay, who next? Rianne. So to have faith, to empower us. Great. James. Yep, so once they actually got out there, they found God was with them, and not only was he with them, but these amazing signs and wonders took place because he was with them. Okay. Who else? Tom, Colin, your group? Rachel, John. Great. Thanks, Colin. Yeah, so picking up the snake, but in a kind of gentle, sensitive type way. But actually, they represent those situations, maybe, which are really hard and deadly and dangerous, even, actually going into that still and picking up. Yeah. Who else have we heard from? Down here at the front? Anyone want to share? Stefan. We've got loads of stuff. We're just letting you guys have a go. Explicit, clear. It's there for you. God will be with you. It's great. Catherine, anything you want to, or Vicky, or who? Sarah, who's sharing? Sarah. So yeah, it's a really exciting passage of actually what can happen through us with God's help. So yeah, there's a good mixture there. Thanks for that. That's fantastic. Some really good stuff. And yeah, just to help highlight some bits which have been picked up on as well, just the way it starts is obviously the way it starts is the go. Man, we really need to invest in a new thing. I can't cope with this little twiddly thing. I need to probably lean on something in the future as well. That'd be great. But but yeah. Anyhow, I know I should go up there. That would be scary, wouldn't it? I could go into the whole world. Yeah, that'd work. Next time, eh? So yeah, it talks about going, movement, go into the world, preach the good news. Also, in terms of preaching, that is diverse as well, and being the good news as well in terms of the world to all creation. And something I picked up which was mentioned last week, Jesus culture, is encouragement. Actually, when we go, when we step out, reliant on God, power is released. Like what James picked up on, signs and wonders accompanied them when they went. When they go, power is released. We're releasing. We're opening up. God's power to come when we step out, when we go, because God wants to do it with us. It's a co-mission, not just a mission. It's a co-mission with us, and the whole thing of the world is like big, but it is. We are called to disciple nations. The Bible speaks of it. We're called to disciple nations, and that's a big thing. And we're growing into that. It's great to have a whole load of guys who did the Kairos in Berlin over the summer, and other people that have been elsewhere in the nations. And that's something which is really important to who we are, because we're called to disciple nations, not only locality here, but actually beyond ourselves. We're called to disciple this nation, which we kind of had a stab at last weekend in helping with that. But actually we're called to go, to preach, to be. And it says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And this thing, because then it goes on to say, he who doesn't will be condemned. And it's kind of, you can take it in such a way as, ooh, that's a bit whatever. But actually, it's just saying, hey, there's a choice. People can respond. My love is here. My goodness is here. I want people to know my goodness. But it's that response that comes from those who encounter God. And a choice to journey, to believe in that and to move in that. And God's salvation is a continuous process as well. So it's something about us as community as well, continuing to respond to God, continuing to choose to follow him, continuing to be saved, as it were, daily, and what that means also for us, where we're at in our different situations. Then it carries on, as James said, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs and wonders that accompanied them. And Because that's who we are. We're also that's the first disciples. But as church, we know that actually we're also that's you know one of our names is disciples of Jesus as well as followers of Jesus, people who are journeying with Him, who are seeking after Him, and therefore that's us. So confirm this word by the signs and wonders. So God will confirm through signs and wonders as we step out, as we heard from the stories last week, which was so encouraging, and even in this week I've heard from different people, and so like the guys from Liverpool who broke down on their minibus to get here, still determined, got here in their cars and that, and then they left Sunday morning and they stopped off at this petrol station on the way home to Liverpool, and there was this lady who was limping in the petrol station, kind of limping along. It was kind of a bit of an obvious one, but they decided, hey, let's go for it, kind of all pumped up. They're like, yeah, let's go for it. And so I just went up to this lady, and just a few of them did, and just said who they were, and just said we'd love to pray for your limp, because we believe God wants to heal that, He wants to bless you. So shut up, all right, can't lose anything. So they prayed for her, and then this lady started walking off, and as she was walking off, she turned around and said, hey guys, thanks so ever so much, it's all better, it's all, and she was just walking away normal, which was fantastic. Yeah, come on. And so it's like, you know, these guys from Liverpool, they're like, wow. Do you know, because what they simply did was they simply stepped out, and then God's power, God's signs and wonders accompanied them. They didn't do that, God did that, because He saw that they stepped out beyond themselves. And it is this does confirmation. So it's also interesting that what we can say is this challenge that gets laid. It's interesting because like, Jesus had 3 years worth of ministry, and it's like kind of suddenly a few words maybe, and then suddenly at the end it's like this challenge and I'm off. And it's like no, it wasn't actually like that. It was these 3 years of ministry were actually through that Jesus had been continually revealing, continually showing and continually training them as apprentices to see and to step out and preach His word, to be the kingdom, but also to then see the signs and wonders accompanied. As you know, there's story after story about Jesus in the Gospels where God's power is revealed. People are healed. People are raised from the dead. People are set free. People are delivered. And so it's not this kind of tag on at the end, but it's actually this is the very essence of who Jesus is. This is the essence of what the Gospel is about, the good news is about. And so it is something that we do together. That's why I say as a community, it's something that we're doing together. It's something that we're travelling with together. We're sharing the stories together. We're sharing the ones where we're like, so I stepped out, prayed for this person, and they punched me in the face. You're like, oh, that's not very good, is it? But actually, hopefully that won't happen. But but actually, the worst scenarios, as it were, we need to share them as well, and actually journey together with those as well. But actually, as we see, as we hear, I don't tend to hear those stories. I tend to hear the stories that actually I stepped out, followed what God was saying, and actually God's power broke out, and something amazing happened as a result. So that's where we're going. Also in this passage, it picks up on saying sending them out to drive out demons, to speak in new tongues, pick up snakes with the hands, drink deadly poison, which will not hurt them, place hands on sick people. It's like almost like I'm immune, as it were. I don't actually think it was necessarily saying, I don't think they're necessarily trying to get the next worst thing to try and kill themselves and then go, look, hey, didn't get me. I don't know, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I think it's more like in terms of like maybe what Colin was saying and some of the boldness, that whole thing of we don't need to be fearful when we're in God. It's not, there is a sense of fear, isn't there, that comes sometimes before you step out and follow. It's like, oh. But actually, that's something of a process, something of a journey we're on in terms of also what we think others might think of us. Or what if it all goes wrong, what will I look like? Or even maybe just a kind of sense of spirit of intimidation, especially probably on campus. That would be more likely as well. I haven't got time to go into all of that. But actually, just to encourage us, actually, to step out, and the whole thing of drinking deadly poison. I kind of, my thoughts on this, and this is just kind of nice all process, but just to get us thinking in terms of actually, there will be things that come along to try and thwart us. There will be things that come along to try and stop us. that the enemy is active, and he doesn't want us to be active. He doesn't want us to be stepping out and seeing signs of wonder and seeing God's glory come and seeing campuses and cities and villages and hamlets taken for Christ. He doesn't want that at all. And so actually, he will be trying to trip us up. But in Christ, there's protection there. In Christ, these things do not hurt us. They will not prevail. That's because we are more than conquerors. We are conquerors in Christ. And place hands on sick people and they will get well. So it's just amazing. It's awesome stuff. And this is all part of the authentic gospel experience. This is what it is. It's not just like an extra add-on if you're, I don't know what type of Christian. But actually, this is part of it. This is it. You can't separate it. This is the authentic gospel experience that Jesus proclaimed for believers and those who are on a journey to know God, to encounter him. It is part of what we're called to be about. It's not the abnormal, it's the normal. And I want to pick up on, I don't know if Bannon said this to us last week, I can't quite remember what Bannon said last Sunday, being on the floor over there, but he might have, did he talk about anything about burning ones, Tom? A little bit. But I just want to pick up on a kind of phrase that the guys use, and the reason being is they're called burning ones. We're to be burning ones in reference to the fiery furnace in Daniel. People that step out, people that kind of remain obedient to God, even when it means that we don't fit in, even when it means that we get chucked into a fiery furnace. But four things that mark this out is: one is a spiritual covering. Secondly is the passionately in love with Jesus. Thirdly is to know how to pray, and therefore think differently, renewed and transformed minds. And fourthly is demonstrating the kingdom of God through power. And in a book written by Albert Hibbert on a guy called Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was an English guy. I think he was a plumber or something by trade. Wasn't too well educated, but actually he caught hold of something in terms of who God was and what his identity was in God, and therefore what his purpose was. And this is something I think us as a community we're grappling with, is what is our identity as a community in God? What is our identity? What is our purpose? And this is something that the enemy doesn't want us to get hold of, but actually we're going to get hold of, and we are getting hold of it, and we're not going to let it slip from us either. We're going to push into it. And in this book by Albert, it's called The Secret of His Power. Anyway, the quote says, "If you want anything from God, you'll have to pray. You have to pray into heaven. That is where it all is. If you live in the earth realm and expect to receive from God, you will never get anything." Quite straight. But it says, if you want anything from God, you will have to pray into heaven. That is where it all is. You have to pray into heaven. And in the Lord's Prayer, which I'm sure different ones of us are familiar with, in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, Jesus gave this, the Lord's Prayer, and reveals two key priorities in praying. One being intimacy with the Father. And about that being about expressing to God our hearts of worship. As we do here in terms of musical ways, but also in terms of living a life of worship. Giving ourselves to God. I mean, the whole Lord's Prayer starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And that is a sort of praise, that's a sort of worship, blessing God. And the word Father is such an intimate word straight away, Daddy, Abba. And the second point is, the second priority of prayer, first intimacy with the Father. Second is to bring about his kingdom on earth, establishing his dominion over the needs of mankind. And that's, obviously there's that line in there where it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I don't know if you've stopped on that line much and realised actually what you're praying. But you're praying, "His will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we're saying, come, open up the heavens, come down, pour out your goodness, pour out your power on the earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. And it's interesting, I don't know who's listened to, did anyone else grab that CD? I think We Cry Out CD from the guys last weekend. And pay for it, hopefully. Yeah, good. There's a DVD in there, which is really helpful. And there's a little interview on there that Bannon does with Bill. And part of that is to do with worship, his private space, his personal space with God. And what does that look like? And he just talked about how over the last 20, 30 years, actually most of that time, I think he said something like 75% of his time in prayer is just simply worshipping God. It's just simply on his knees. Often, actually, he said 80-90%, I think, as well. But so about 75% on average is just, and that's increasing, he said. That's increasing. His, of his prayer time is worshipping God, is that intimacy with the Father. And then he said it leaves the rest of it, is basically speaking out the prayers. Because basically, if you know your Father, you're intimate with your Father God, and therefore you know he listens, and you know he answers, you don't need to go on and on about your prayers. You just need to pray it, because you know your God's heard you, you know he's listening, you know your Father wants to answer. And then you can spend more time just worshipping. And actually, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the more you worship, the more intimate you get with your Father, and therefore, actually. So anyway, there you go. So in terms of praying, there's two priorities. Intimacy with the Father, bring about his kingdom on earth. And this is something in terms of knowing how to pray, thinking in a different way. So we're thinking in a way that actually unlocks heaven, that opens heaven's resources. Also in this book, When Heaven Invades Earth, there's another quote, a couple of quotes where it says, we were created for intimacy. From that intimacy comes our commission to rule. So from that intimacy comes our commission to rule. Keep in mind that he views ruling differently than most of us. We rule through service. So our commission to rule, but actually the difference maybe in how the world would see it or how most might view that, because actually it's ruling through service. And in his other book, Dreamer of God, Bill picks up again, serve with the heart of a king and rule with the heart of a servant. Serve with the heart of a king and rule with the heart of a servant. Because actually, in terms of identity, royalty is our identity. We're called to high places. Royalty is our identity. Yet servanthood is our assignment. Servanthood is our assignment. So to serve with the heart of a king, rule with the heart of a servant. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. And that is incredible, because that's what we saw in Jesus. That is what we saw in Jesus, and how he went. He knew his identity in Christ. He knew who he was. Yet he also knew his assignment was to serve, was to wash feet, was to serve people, was to bless people, was to give away to people. In Philippians 3, verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. We're ambassadors of heaven. And we have the privilege of representing heaven in this world so that we might bring about the manifestation of heaven to the world. Actually, we're kind of gateway as a community. We're a gateway of heaven. We're a gateway for heaven to come in all its glory. And all the resources of heaven are at our disposal. They're already at our disposal. Because actually, as people who are seeking after, following after Jesus, we've been given the keys of this kingdom. We've been delegated authority. The authority has already been given to us for earth. And so that's why at the beginning of that commission, right at the end of it all, in the sense of after those 3 years worth of Jesus showing it, and he then still is saying, so go, you know, it's like, you know, it's not like necessarily the disciples weren't the cleverest bunch anyway, in terms of actually going, oh yeah, we've got it all sorted. It's still encouraging, just go, step out. Step out and I'll be with you. I will be with you. The signs and wonders will accompany you as you step out as well. So that's what I would encourage us with, is to go. Charles Spurgeon put it like this. He said, a little faith will get you to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to earth. So a little faith will get you to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to earth. And that's my prayer, that's my heart for us as a community, is that actually we won't be people of little faith, but we'll be people of great faith. People are grappling with what that means for us as a community, what it means to step out into the scary bits, into the bits where we feel led to, but it's still a bit, but actually to step out and then to see God with us, to see his glory come and his power at work with us. So we're called to be people that transform, that take cities by love. That's life by life. And this is just picking up some of what Chris was talking about, step by step, is that life by life, step by step, street by street, hall by hall, campus by campus, nation by nation. Love is the greatest power in the universe. This comes from Steve Chalk's book. Love is the greatest power in the universe. It is not coercive. It invites and inspires. because God can change people. Love is the greatest power in the universe. It's inspirational. It's invitational. It's something to respond to. And God walks our streets and campus, and he feels the pain, and he hears the cries, and he chooses to respond to the need. And I really feel that God is inviting us, is calling us to be people that walk our streets, that walk our campus, that walk the halls, that walk around the houses we're in. When I was in the Green the other day visiting students, I walked the Trees Estate, and as I walked, I just got an immense sense of the need there, the need for love, the need for real relationship. And that was just a glimpse for me, but that's what God feels all the time, and that he wants to respond, but he's chosen to do it through us, with us, co-mission. And so I encourage us to be people that maybe just step out at times and see where things are at, let God reveal some of his heart, of what he's feeling already, so that we can work in that, we can step out in that. So I feel particularly kind of just carrying on off the back of with our guests and our visitors, our friends last week, is just to encourage us within team, within our cell communities, within friendships, within houses, to really create that atmosphere of encouragement where we're encouraging one another. This isn't something of a test. It's not something that if we trip up on, then, you know, that's terrible. But it's actually to love people, to encourage each other as well, with each other's friendships, to step out, to go for it, to bless people. And for us, I want to pray for us for courage as well, because actually we need courage. We need the Holy Spirit. We need courage. And to be people that do prepare the way of the Lord. I think that's something which we're doing. That's something which we're going to be doing in Student Union in a couple of weeks' time, is preparing the way for God's glory to come, for Jesus to be known. In the book called Isaiah, in chapter 40, it talks about declaring that God is coming. Declaring that God is coming. But we need to recognise that when we declare that, people are thinking, oh no, kind of like, often people will be thinking of God in a way that he's a judge. But we need to proclaim and say, yeah, he's coming and he loves you. He's coming because he loves you. He's coming because he wants to reveal and pour out his goodness on you. And we need to affirm people in that. We need to affirm who God is to people, because they don't necessarily know if they haven't encountered the love of God. So what we're going to do, I just want to, maybe if James wants to come up, that'd be great. I just want to respond. I particularly kind of feel to respond in terms of that whole thing of heaven's resources are available to us. Actually stepping out, allowing God to shape us, allowing God to fill us with his Spirit, and actually stepping out to see heaven on earth, that in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to actually be start stepping into that more so. And as I say, this is a journey. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is something of a series of keep responding to God, of keep choosing to let him work through us. It is about commission, about taking and transforming cities. And I believe that that's what God wants to do. I believe that's what God has for us. And I invite you to choose to be part of that.